Let's go to prayer, and we'll talk about our message here and get ready for that. Father Almighty, it is a special time where we can look at your word, and I just appreciate what you have in there for us as a reminder, as words of encouragement, as words of direction, as words of what getting us to know what it means to be Christian. I thank you for the ears in which to be able to hear that we've got, and to know that it doesn't go on deaf ears, but it goes on to hearts that are pliable and hearts that are readily to accept God's word, because that's the type of individual that you want, Lord. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit to move through us and to encounter any of those struggling things that are inside of us and just to bat them away and open our hearts fully to the Lord. I thank you for everyone and for their participation within our church here. It means an awful lot to me, and I know it means even more to the Lord because of the commitment that you have. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so we had finished 1 Peter, and so now we're going to take a little bit of a reprieve from that. I do want to get into 2 Peter, but you know, there's always things on my heart, like in between on the surface, and I like having the ability to be able to jump around in different types of messages when we come through. This one's about calluses, and it was kind of funny. I was standing after school. I think it was the beginning of this week, or maybe it was the beginning of this week. Maybe it was, I don't know, but it was funny. We were working on preparing for the county fair, well, with the FFA, and I want the kids, I've got quite a few kids that want to go, so they have to be busy, which means we're going to be offering different types of little workstations to teach whoever comes by something, you know, along the lines of agriculture. And this, we're looking at doing knots, actually, and kind of decorative knots. So I had these ropes, these nylon ropes, and they were we were all going to practice, you know, doing a decorative knot so that we can get these down. And the ropes were pretty long. You know, they're like 6 feet long. I don't need them that long. So, you know, you just take a pair of scissors, and then you take a little flame, and you kind of burn the end so that it doesn't fray on you and all that, because it's kind of like a nylon rope. And they're small. They're not really, really big. And it was funny. It was like I was doing that, and whenever you burn the end, you always have to take your finger on it when it's still hot and moldy sort of thing, and mold it so it doesn't like have this big bulge on the end, but you want to have a nice smooth ending, and it just kind of gets rounded, tapered on the end of that. And as I'm doing this, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even feel the heat from doing that, because I've done this before, because I do knots in my class, and by the time I do knots from one time, I lose the ropes, you know, they just disappear, they get used for something, and so I always have to cut more ropes. And I just remember the last time doing it, it's like every time I'm like burning my thumb and my fingers kind of going through this, and you actually build up that plastic on your hand, you know how it melts to you into your kind of even your skin and stuff like that. And it's like, if I build enough of that layer of plastic on my thumb and finger that it's not going to hurt anymore, but it hurts because it holds the heat in there longer, so you got to rip that off and then start fresh. And it's like, oh, that hurts. This time, I didn't feel anything. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, what a message. And so those little stupid things like that kind of stick in there. So that's what this message actually begins from, is that. And it just kind of dawned on me is that, you know, that calluses come from work. They come from, like, in this case, using your hands and stuff like that. And when I was on the farm, you know, I, you know, mammoth calluses on my hands and stuff like that. But while I'm teaching now, there isn't that much. I don't get out and work the way I used to. But this spring's been pretty busy for me, and in the sense, I don't mean busy that I don't have time to do stuff. I mean busy in the sense that I'm out there doing stuff outdoors an awful lot and trying to get things. And so my hands are getting back to that manly callousness that, you know, you've got to have. And otherwise, you know, it's like, just band hands, it doesn't look good, stuff like that. So it's pretty neat. I'm thinking to myself, it's like, I never even realized that my hands were getting calloused until I focused on that, you know, that one instance of burning that rope and stuff like that. And what went through my mind at that moment was like, we as Christians, you know, become stronger and stronger Christians. We become callous to this world. And sometimes we don't even realize until we look back and say, oh yeah, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I used to do this. I'm not anymore. You know, this used to really bother me when somebody said this. It goes right off me now. You know, in these areas over there, and it's because we become grounded with Christ and we become callous to the world. And that's really, really, as Christians, that's kind of what we're supposed to be doing. You know, open and tender to the Lord, but really hardened to the things that this world has to offer us, because it's not what God has intended for us to do. I remember I was in Australia back in the 80s, late 80s, 87, 80. No, it was before that, 86 maybe. And I spent three months in there just touring through Australia with my friend Dave DeGolier, just backpacking it. And we went all the way across, you know, the continent and stuff like that, and came back. And it's hot over there, and it's like you're wearing your sneakers, your work boots, or whatever, you know, you're hiking in. And after a while, you just hike in bare feet. I had such strong calluses on my feet that I could walk over gravel and never felt it. I was like, I can't do that now. You know, my hands might be more callous, but I'll tell you right now, my feet are not callous because I'm wearing boots all the time. You know, I'm in school, and I can't have that stuff. So there's different parts of us that become calloused, and then the other parts are not calloused, right? That we have to protect and be a little bit more aware of. I do want you to know, though, too, when I was working for my brother-in-law on the farm, as I said, my hands were extremely callous during that time. It didn't really matter what you touched because it didn't, you know, nothing really happened. Except one time we had to go through and we had to bust up cement. I don't know if you've ever busted up cement before, but that takes a lot. Especially when you're using a sledgehammer and pounding it, or using a pry bar to break it up and stuff like that. And so what I got, and think about this, I got a blister under my callus. Yeah. So you talk about nerve endings that are down in there? Yeah, and so I just want you to know that even in this life, though, when we have calluses, right, even the protecting ourselves from the world, there are times that we are hurt deeply, and sometimes more deeply because we've calloused ourselves from the world, but sometimes the world gets through, and when it does get through, it seems to hurt all the more because it's really hitting on those nerves that we have. And so, you know, it's like, you know, you have one of those epiphanies, is that what they call it? Where all of a sudden a moment it comes into your mind and like just that one, I don't know, it must have been like a 2-second thing, all this stuff comes through my head, and I'm thinking, you know, we should share this sort of thing. Because it really kind of makes sense of this world and what Christianity is about. Yes, we want people to be saved. Yes, we have to reach out to people in this world. And they need to hear the gospel. They need to be able to see us as witnesses that you can live a Christian life. There's all of that that's out there. But we need to stay close to God. Right? It's really, really important to be able to do that. And to know that though we are in this world, and we're not of this world, but as we are in the world, there's battles. Battles that we have to fight. Battles that we have to go through. And I think of their servicemen that have gone through some of the battles and the struggles that they have. When they go to war and they come back, they're not necessarily the same people. Some people it affects in a very, very negative way. And some people grow up because of going to battle. And especially when you have friends or loved ones that don't come back. And the emptiness that's there because of knowing that we are here today safe because of their sacrifice. You know, we tend to appreciate life maybe more. And it's nice that we have a national holiday where we can set aside some time and some thought and some parades. And I think, Doran, you set some flags out right in the cemetery. And to be able to take the time to be able to do that for all those servicemen and just a reflection of seeing those flags out there. For that is, I think that's honoring, you know, who people are. Whether they're Christian or not, we appreciate what they've done for us so that we can be here on this world. But we live through those troubled times. Let's look at some scripture verse that we've got. Psalm 119, 70 through 71. Said that their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. You know, God allows us to experience things. And because we are experiencing things, we learn to grow because of those. We can take those experiences and we can draw closer to God, or we can take those experiences and we can move away from God. The choice is yours. But it talks about the callous over here, and it's talking about those that are callous to the Lord. And yet here we are as Christians, and we say we should be callous too. Yeah, we need to be open to the Lord. But there's so much in Scripture that talks about people that have fallen away from the Lord, people that don't know the Lord, and the few that do are the ones that are considered, you know, that have that godly righteousness. They have that a special anointing and stuff like that. I feel kind of blessed this morning. I was just showing Hope. I said, when I did communion and stuff, I don't know, has this ever happened to anybody? I got two little wafers in mine. Yeah. No, do you? Oh, here, I thought I was the only one that ever got it. Now I was like, it's not so special anymore. It's like, that's the first time that ever happened to me. I got two little wafers, and it's like, you know. I should have shared. You didn't get any? We'll talk about that later, Jane. Yeah. But look at the scripture of the psalmist that wrote this. Right? It was good for me to be afflicted. It was good for me to experience maybe some pain. It was good for me to experience some disheartenedness. It was good for me to experience maybe some depression. It was good for me to experience things, you know, that happen in this world. Do you know why? Because it draws me closer to the appreciation of who God is. And to know that, yes, we are on this world for a purpose. And I do believe that we are to grow as Christians while we're here. So how do you get calluses? By working. And what God wants us to do is go out there into this world being totally, in essence, unprepared for what the world has to go against us. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good, people person. I'm not a good stuff like you're. And yet the Lord is calling you to go out and to reach other people. Well, that's not me, but you can't say that. God has created you, right, to serve Him and to have this life. So whatever gifts it is that you have, God's going to get you to use those to proclaim His Word. And then He's going to get you to trust Him that He's going to provide the rest of what's needed. He'll give you maybe that moment the words that you need to have. It's not something you can prepare and write down all the time. You're going to get it when you do it, if you're open to the Lord. And when you're out there, then you're going to start to see that God is moving because you're doing His work. And your hands are now being calloused to the world and what the world has to say. But your heart is being uncalloused to the Lord. Because you can start to see Him moving. But it's all about getting out there and doing the things that God wants you to do. I think of a story that's very much so is Naomi and Ruth. You go back to the Old Testament. I'm not going to read the scripture. I just want to go through the story a little bit and just explain, you know, some of the stuff that they had to go through and how hard it was. And maybe it's hard for us to understand. Some of you might have a better connection with that, with, you know, having a loss of a life or a husband or your children and stuff. But you think of Naomi, who's a Jewish woman, and there's like a famine and stuff in Jerusalem. So she ends up going with her husband and two sons over to Moab, where there seems to be some reprieve from this, and a place where you can get some food and work and whatever it is you need to do. In the time that they're over there, the two sons get married, but the husband, Naomi's husband, dies, and then the two sons die. So Naomi's left with these two daughter-in-laws, and there's no way that she can provide for them. She's a widow. No source of income. There's no one there to, any other children to be able to, that she has, to take on, as a Jewish custom has, would take on, you know, the wife of a deceased sibling. Nothing. There's no means to provide for them. So she's like, just go back to Moab, you know, go back with your family and make a new life. Well, one sister-in-law does, or daughter-in-law does, but Ruth doesn't. She says, basically, I'm going to go where you're going to go, I'm going to live where you're going to live, and I'm going to worship the Lord that you worship. And they end up going back to Jerusalem, and obviously they have, again, no source of income. Ruth ends up, you know, gleaning the fields, and that what that means is, as the harvesters go through and harvest the wheat and stuff, they go through with a little container, and they'll pick up any grain that gets lopped on the ground, and that's their meals that they're going to have for the day. That's the only way that they can make a living, be able to survive. So Ruth goes out, and she goes into this field where Boaz owns it. It happens to be that Boaz, you know, by, I won't say accident, but I think it's more providence, right? That she goes to this field, and Boaz ends up being kind of a kinship person there. That within the family line, that he's somewhat close to be able to claim, that he can claim Naomi and her property and Ruth. But there's someone else in line with that. And there's a story that goes in where Ruth, you know, is being obedient to Naomi and telling, she says what to do. Eventually what happens is Boaz ends up taking Ruth as his wife. And they are provided for. Now, in this time before that, Naomi says, you know, don't call me Naomi, but another name, I can't remember, Mara or something like that, which means bitterness, because her heart is full of bitterness. Right? They go through a tremendous hardship. Losing a husband, losing both her boys. Doesn't say how or you know, what was any reason or anything like that. But they went through that adversity. And though they came back to the Lord in the sense of coming back to Jerusalem, people knew who they were, and they were workers. Ruth was known for being able to be out in that field from morning till evening, gleaning that field. She made an impression on those people around her just by her, the way she worked. Boaz takes notice of her. And Boaz gives her special accommodations to be able to get more grain and everything, to provide more for her. Eventually ends up marrying her. And you think about, well, why is a story like that in Scripture? Well, Ruth ends up being the grandmother of King David. That her diligenceness, her connection with God, even though she went through all this adversity, she, Naomi, were blessed. Blessed in very special ways. Not just to being provided for, but being put into that line of King David being born, which means she's also in the bloodline of Jesus himself. But what did she have to do? She had to go through all this stuff. She had to work. She had to go out in those fields and glean. My guess is she didn't have an awful lot in the realms of materials, be able to pick it up with special tools and stuff like that. She had to get right down there and pick it up with her fingers, right? And I'm sure her hands were calloused. And thinking about this as a woman, a lot of times you don't like calloused hands because they don't look pretty. You know, they get little notches in there, and the little dirt and stuff gets stuck in those little cracks and everything like that. I'm just like, that's not really a woman's type of picture. But you know what? She knew what needed to be done, and she did it. She kept close, even with her relationship with the Lord while she was doing it. There isn't an ounce in her heart that we could see that where she, you know, blamed God for this and blamed God for that. She trusted the Lord as she trusted herself with Naomi. And I think that's really neat, because that's the adversity that we kind of go through. The callousness that she developed, she could have gone through and say, I don't want this God, because if this your God allows this to happen, then I don't want anything to do with your God. And you build up this callous against him. She didn't do that. Let's look at Jeremiah. I'm going to go back and look at some of the false preachers that are out there and some of the false religion. And look at the hearts of the individuals. Where is it that they built up callous? And this is what Jeremiah 7, 2 through 8 says. It says, hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. Right? So these are the people coming in through the gates of the temple. Right? They're coming in to worship God. And it's just like us coming through the doors of this church. And we come here to worship God, right? And he says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions. Wait a minute, they're coming to the temple to worship, right? Isn't that all they need to do? But God wants more than just that. Right? He wants our actions, he wants our thoughts to be right. He says, and I will let you live in this place. Oh, in order to live in this place, we have to reform our ways? Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. Right? And if anybody's in the temple of the Lord, they are protected. And you're using the temple as a form of protection. But where are your hearts? Where are your ability to be able to work for the Lord? He says, if you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. Well, and then he says, but look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Just being in the temple isn't enough. That your hearts have to be right. That your attitude, your perception, and your motive for what you're doing means more to God than the sacrifices that you might be letting known, you know, that you're doing. You need to develop those calluses on your hand to start doing God's work. Because it's really what God requires. It's not just about knowing who He is. Yes, you do need to know who He is. Don't get me wrong. But that's just the beginning. When you start to recognize who God is, and then you start to seek out who God's character, you know, what His character is like, and you realize that we as Christians are to reflect the way Jesus Christ lived on this earth. That's how we're supposed to live. It's not all about talk. It's all about doing it. But I think what we see here is that there are people within the Jewish culture that have become callous to God. I'm assuming that some of these people were not acting justly with one another. They were cheating one another. Right? They were lying to one another. There was maybe some transactions that were not fair. Maybe they were not treating the aliens, the foreigners, the way God wanted them to treat them. Took advantage of them. That there were widows that they probably took advantage of. That they would go through and they would worship false idols as soon as they came out of that temple. Well, we know that they were actually worshiping false idols within the temple at one point, and God just said, enough is enough. And so it's like, God knows your heart. Alright? It's not that you've got to spill your heart and let it everybody know. That's between you and God. It really is. If you need to talk to somebody, find someone that you feel secure with, and get a person to encourage you to do the way God wants you to do. Right? Because God wants you to live an everlasting life with Him. And this is really what He's saying. So this is Old Testament. Let's look at a New Testament scripture verse here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. See if it's much different. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lusts of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has done, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Is that much different than the Old Testament scripture in Jeremiah? I don't really believe so. Why? Because our God is an unchanging God. He's the same as He was in the past, as He is now, as He will be in the future, and you can bank on that. I do. And that's what I really love about God, is that He doesn't change. He doesn't change with the times. He doesn't change with the cultures that are there. That has nothing to do with who He is. And see, I can then develop a relationship, a consistent relationship with God, because when you start to know the character of God, then it's easier and easier to listen to. But this world, what do? Right? You can't even buy a light fixture that you bought 2 years ago because the product is no longer manufactured. And so it's like, well, I have to change all my lights in the house to match this one that broke? Yep. Because that's what the world wants to do. They want to suck you dry. I don't just mean the funds or anything like that. They just want to suck things out of you because it's going to draw you away from God. We need to be callous to that. We need to develop a closeness with God and to be able to bring it about. Because there's that one that is prowling around, right, like a lion who just wants to devour you. And we know who that is, that's Satan. Because he deceives, he's a liar. We've already talked about that not too long ago. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, he says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. Right? Who are the ones that are perishing? The non-believers. The ones that don't know God. The ones that haven't surrendered, as we've talked last week about, to the Lord. Those are the ones that Satan is really easy, can throw things up in front of them, and they will just latch right on to it because it seems like a wonder to them. But yet we, as Christians, are to have a discerning heart, to be able to have, tell the difference between that which is godly and that which is not godly. How do we do that? Well, we need to stay in the Word. We need to stay and have a relationship with God. Because if we don't have that relationship, it might be possible for us to be deceived by the world and drawn away from God. Because that's what Satan wants to do. And if our hands aren't callous from doing God's work, if our spirit, is mushy, in the sense of, if the wind blows this way and the wind blows that way and we just go wherever the wind blows, then we really haven't got that rock that we need to stand on. The church. And who's the head of the church? But Jesus Himself. Right? And taking the direction from Him. Because let's read on. He says, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They have built up a hardened heart against Jesus. Jesus says that He is the truth, the light, and the way. Only through Him can you get to the Father. That is the only way. And if we think there's alternative ways, then we are deceived. If we think that there's certain paths that we can take that's justifiable, but it goes against what Scripture is saying, then we are really kind of this world. And we have to be careful about that sort of thing because, you know, God wants us there. He says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Wait a minute. Who's sending the delusion? God. Wait, what? God would never do that. He would never send a delusion. But yet, Scripture says He does. Do you know why He would do that? Maybe to get you to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve those things that the world really likes? Or are you going to serve God Himself? Where your callous is going to be developed? Are you going to be able to discern, you know, this delusion? I mean, isn't that really what happened? It's like God allows Satan to do his work. Ask Job about that. Right? But remember, Satan can only do what God allows him to do. Nothing more. That's pretty evident, even in the book of Job. And why would God put Job through something like that? Maybe Job has something to learn. Maybe through his adversity, we could learn something too by reading that Scripture. There's an awful lot in Scripture that we can glean and we can just kind of go through it and it's like, it's nice, I like that. Or we can go through Scripture and say, ooh, that one really hurt. I wish that wasn't in Scripture because that really hurt me. That's like, oh, that's just like what's happening to me right now. Well, read through Scripture and see how that individual carried through with their love for the Lord, no matter what the cost was. And then look at the end and the benefits that go with it. Though they might have had struggles all their life, and they never seemed to get away from those struggles, or maybe there was something some things were restored to the way it was, or even better than the way it was before, because you stayed committed to the Lord. Regardless, that doesn't matter. That's not why we stay committed to the Lord, so that we benefit. We stay committed to the Lord because we know who He is. Yes, there is the benefit of living with God for everlasting and everything like that. But it's really that God is with us now while we're going through these tough times. It is so hard sometimes for us to get over that and to realize that as a Christian, it doesn't mean you're going to have a walk through the park in this world. It means that you might have to walk hard and develop those calluses on your feet and on your hands. And I was looking at, I just happened to look up, you know, I was looking up the word how to spell callus. I don't even know how to spell that, right? Before I sent it to Barb. And it was like, you know, your body is like, I'm trying to figure out, I can't write it and get even the right spelling and the autocorrect because it's so far off and everything. So I'm looking at tough skin and then I'm writing in areas of what happens to your hands if you work hard. And I'm getting all these other weird things coming up with it. And it's like, you know, I'm not very good with the English part of it, so I apologize. But eventually I got it and I sent it out to Barb like 15 minutes later than what I wanted to. At any rate, I'm out there and it's like, I didn't realize that there's different parts of your body has different thicknesses of the skin. You know, like your eyelashes, or eyelids, right? Very, very thin skin. Very thin skin. But yet what they protect one of the most delicate, you know, organs within our body too. And then we have really thick skin on our hands, you know, and our feet and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, I guess I never really thought much about it. I know like when you skin deer out, you know, the belly is a little thinner than that on the back in terms of the hide that you have. But as far as humans, I never really thought much about that. So there's areas where you can get calluses And there's areas where you just can't get callus. I don't know how you get calluses on your eyelids and stuff like that. You can blink a lot or rub dirt on them, and all of a sudden got really thick eyelids. It's like, wow, how'd you do that? Well, I mean, it's like write a book about it. And it's like what people go through sometimes to look different or to have different things. I don't know. But really, it's the point is there's certain areas of our body that are meant to be non-callous, to be tender, and that we have to protect. Right? God made us that way. And so we need to protect those things that are the most fragile aspects of our lives. We need to protect our faith. We need to protect our hearts. We need to protect our attitudes. We need to protect our relationship with God. Right? Those are fragile things. And so, as we look at that, and we get this delusion that comes out there, it just makes the world more complicated. Well, it doesn't make the world complicated for a true Christian. Because a true Christian, their focus is on God regardless of what's going on in the world. Yeah, there's troubles. And I feel like, for this Texas massacre that went down through in the high school and stuff like that, for that to happen here. And I was thinking, in my room, Monty knows that in the morning and even second period, I've got somebody that comes in. And he's a big guy, and he just kind of sweats a lot. He's just at his gym prior to my class. You know what he does every time he comes into my room? He opens that back door and props it open. Yeah, the door's locked. And I thought nothing of it because it's a nice breeze coming through. It does feel better. But I don't know if I can do that anymore.
We live in a small town in Shortsville, Manchester. And last month, a team came in with a gun. And he mentioned something to a friend.
Yeah. We tend to not think about that stuff because we don't like thinking about it. But it can very much. Yeah, very, very much so. So I've got to. I know starting when we come back to school on Wednesday, I got to keep the doors closed because I can't imagine being the individual that opened that door and propped it open down in Texas, and the guilt that would come through. The innocence of the. I understand why people do that. Just let air flow through. But I don't know. And it's sad that we have to imprison students in school. To keep them safe. There's an awful lot out there. So there's a lot of things that can go through. Where the world is going to affect us, whether we want it to or not. But we need to be strong with the Lord. We really do. We've got this in Colossians 3, 7 through 11 says, you used to walk in these ways, right? In the life you once lived. And that was all, the evil desires, and we succumb to that sort of thing. And he says, now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its creator, which is God. Here there is no Greek, no Jew, no circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. I thought that was kind of neat because the song that was up there actually used this scripture verse here, right? That spoke about that. So when we look at this, God expects us to remove all that malice, all that worldliness that's in us, and to focus in on Him. To do that at all costs. And the only way you can do that is by getting your hands dirty. Working. And it might be flipping pages in Scripture. Right? It might be turning off the one station and putting on another station that has Christian music on it. It might be all of a sudden now starting to change your conversations with people and start talking about the Lord. It might mean that all of a sudden is that, certain television shows that you watch, maybe stop watching those. Right? You need to develop a callus to the world and protect that which is so tender and dear to God, which is you, your spirit, and who you are. so that you can do God's work and to be able to do this. And I think it's really, really special to be able to do that. Rid yourselves of that and put Christ in the center of your life. Remember that big blue circle that we had, was it before, right? The hope of that still sticks in your mind because it was really important to be able to do that. He is our foundation. I'm going to read Psalm 73. I like this because it talks about what we need to do and how we can overcome some of the world and stuff here. It's not real long. It's only like 28 verses here. But let me read this to you. Listen carefully. I want you to think about the psalmist as he writes about this and maybe the struggles that he's going through, right? And the temptations, because he sees the world around him and he sees, you know, good things, but yet not so good things. And look where this individual's heart is, okay, and where he goes through. I love this scripture because when people get kind of caught up in the world and they get really brought down by the world and the things that are going on in the world, this is a great one to be able to bring us through and to know what we need to do to overcome that sort of thing. It starts out in verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. And we can think about that. God is good to Christians, right? God is there. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. And all day long I have been afflicted. And every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed our children. When I tried to understand all of this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. And I like this is the turning point in the heart of that psalm. Until I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Right? You see the end result when you enter God's territory. Surely you place them on slippery ground. Right? Who was it that sent the deceiving spirits? You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakens. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into your glory. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from your will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Now there's an individual that has gone through adversity and has seen the wicked thrive and those that are hanging on to the Lord seem to be just getting by morsel. And how fair is that? But when that individual pleads before God and comes into His presence, you know all that worldly stuff? What happens to it? Just disappears. It goes. It's not important. What's important is that relationship with God, here and now. That's what's important for you, is your relationship with God. And if you're feeling like the world is, you know, gone into a spiral, if you feel like you know, things just aren't right between you and the Lord, or you're wanting something that you know really isn't within the lines of God, guess where you need to go? Into His sanctuary. Because when you're in the presence of God, all this worldly stuff doesn't have an ounce of influence on you. And that when you come out of that, you know, at that moment, you go back into the world and do the things that God wants you to do, you are encouraged, and you are then callous to the world because you know what God has for you and for the world. And that you are part of God's plan to bring others to Him. So I'm so excited about this VBS program that we're coming out, because it's one of our first things that we're doing, like to reach out, you know, into the community. And we need to be doing more of that. We need to be getting our hands dirty in the sense of, you know, doing things for the Lord. Because He will be blessed from that if we're obedient to what He wants us to do. And I think like this individual here, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I like that. Because if we're next to the world, well, Scripture says, then you're not of God. You're not in the light. Enter His sanctuary. Make the world, you know, outside of you because of the calluses that you've built up. And take those calluses that you've built up with the Lord and remove those calluses, so that He can work in on you and do His will within you. Amen? Lord, I just thank You for this word that we have here today. And thank You that we can come here and to recognize that You are supreme. That there's a lot of evil outside. You know it, and we know it. But You've made a way for us to have salvation. You've made a way for peace to enter this world, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Father, if we are trying other ways and ways that just seem to be worldly, just help us to remove that. Put You first and recognize that You are our God and we are Your people. We pray all of this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.